Good morning and welcome to the roundtable for this 31st of May, the final day of May. I hope you all had a lovely Memorial Day weekend and celebrated or memorialized or did whatever you should do on a summer weekend. It was mixed bag weather-wise, but there was certainly enough sunshine and heat to go out and enjoy the days we were given. Welcome to the program, and we have a lot to talk about today. Let me introduce our group to you, and we will get started. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan. How are you, sir?
Good morning. And one of these days...
Oh, there's this thing.
Okay. So anyway, good morning, and I want to just say that one of these days, maybe we can have a show in which we discuss the war between, you know, partners, husbands, wives, and all like that, to discuss the air conditioning enigma. In my house, air conditioning is not allowed, even though I insist that we put in wall units to the house, because Roselle abhors, air conditioning.
She abhors air conditioning.
Yeah.
And you, but you're not a big air conditioning guy.
Actually,
either, are you?
I am. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we put ours in.
I thought I'd mention that.
My wife and I do not argue over the air conditioning for any other reason other than, is it cool enough for the dog?
Yeah, well, there's that. There's always that.
That's what we argue over.
Especially when we have the dog in the car with us.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the air conditioning has to be blasting so it gets to the back, to the back seat. But no, we put them in. We have to get our fans down from the basement because of the way our house is situated. We can't have an AC unit in our bedroom anymore.
Have to have the air to circulate.
So it's in Lynn's office, which is across the hall, and we have to push it. It's very, very complicated. It's very, very complicated.
Political consultant Libby Post is with us this morning, and yet to weigh in on the great air conditioning dilemma of 2016 as the associate editor of the Times Union. Mike Spain.
Good morning. When it gets really hot and sweaty, I tolerate the noise of the window air conditioner. I don't live in a house that has central air. It's too old.
No. You know? Yeah, us too. Yeah. It's our problem.
Yeah, us too.
That's good and bad.
Yeah. Yeah. We're lucky enough to have that, but it's nice.
No, it's just too much. It was very hot this weekend.
Yeah, it
was. I must say, though,
weekend.
That the air conditioning here in the studio at WAMC is quite chilling.
Robust. You can hang meat in here.
Yes.
well, that has to do
with all the hot air in the room.
Stop, there's probably a lot of good topics on your list today, Joe.
That's right.
All right. I'm going to.
There's only one woman over 50 in this room, so don't put it on us.
What? No, I was going to talk about weight and correlation between weight and appreciation of air conditioning and how cool it has to be.
They both sound very safe.
Yeah, I don't think so, Ellen, but thanks for the
What I was going to talk about.
Yeah, well, let's go
so
on to
you're
something
little,
else, Joe.
You know,
what's the next topic?
Paranoia.
Okay, we're going to talk about... I want to talk about the gorilla story. It's a complex story. A gorilla was killed after a child enters enclosures at the Cincinnati Zoo. This happened on Saturday. A 4-year-old boy slipped through the exhibit's barrier on Saturday afternoon, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and was dragged around like a toy by a beautiful, hulking silverback gorilla. For anyone who has seen the video... You know what we're talking about. If you have not seen the video, I will do my best to describe it to you. But there was a large enclosure and into a pit, really, with I would say maybe about two feet of water. And at that point, the child went over a 3-foot aluminum barrier, then was able to go through a 4-foot high hedge.
I see.
And then slip down into the enclosure, into the area, and went several feet. I don't know. I think it's 20 feet down, or if not more, down into where the gorilla was. And then for over 10 minutes, the gorilla at some point would pick up the child and basically move it around like a rag doll,
mm-hmm.
obviously a very strong animal. And zoo officials then removed the crowd, and they killed the gorilla.
Right. There were times.
They shot the gorilla. So here are just a few of the issues. First of all, the zoo community has come out pretty much backing the Cincinnati Zoo's decision. Meanwhile, there has been a huge uproar online as well as at the zoo of those criticizing the zoo. I'll get to the parents in a second, but criticizing the zoo for this action of killing the animal, as opposed to perhaps stunning it or tranquilizing it, which many experts have said would not have been possible to save the child. And then, of course, there are the issues of just zoos in general, of having these animals in close proximity to people, not to mention is a 3-foot fence / shrub enough to keep anyone who is, I think anyone who has had a 3 or 4 year old child around them to think that they couldn't, that they could have control. So those are some of the issues, the parents are taking a lot of abuse, the mother especially, that she should have been the one. This is on social media.
She should have been the one who what?
That she should have been the one who was shot.
Oh God!
There are people who have said there have been petitions about, you know, that. If she was dumb enough to leave her child into that position, then the gorilla should live. And, you know, there's all kinds of stuff going on. Anyway, so there's this huge uproar. They held a vigil for the gorilla, I believe, Sunday night. The video is being played over and over again. So if there is a good side to the story, it is that the child was treated and released from the hospital and is doing okay. That's the setup. What do you think?
Well, I think it's
our animal rights person first.
It's an incredibly sad situation all around. I mean, this was a magnificent regal animal when you take a look at this animal, and he was 17 years old. They had just celebrated his birthday the day before. There's this balance of you're at a zoo and there's this little kid and you're not quite sure. At times the gorilla looked like he was protecting him. They even sort of did a high five at one point, and then he would drag him through the water. I was like, why couldn't they just tranquilize the gorilla? And it seemed that they felt that would make him more agitated at the beginning. It would take too long for it to sink in, and he could have killed the child because of of being aggravated by the tranquilizer. This is, you know, look, this is not an easy decision for a zookeeper to make, and it's a horrible position for a parent to be in. Yes, she should have had better control of her children. She had a bunch of kids with her, that day. Yes, this kid should never have been able to get in. I mean, when we go to Disney, to the Animal Kingdom, it's glass enclosure, and you cannot get in, and it's the animals are across a moat from you. Not that that's particularly, not everybody believes in that, but we went to see the animals, and it was a stunning way that they did it. This is a problem with zoos across the country. Blaming, shaming, saying the mother should be shot, I think, this is social media at its worst. You know, that mother was hysterical. You know, it's a child. Yes, it's an animal. I love animals. But when you balance these two things out, you know, the child needed to be saved. So, and it's very difficult. It's a really horrible thing. But more to the point is what social media has given us license to do.
No, I agree completely.
Sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
No. It's just one more case that demonstrates how people seem to feel this freedom, this license, to just be extraordinarily blunt
horrible.
And vicious and horrible. Yeah. It brings out the worst in people. They feel that they have some kind of right to be awful.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a terrible tragedy, but the social media thing is sort of a separate thing. And I was just going to add one thing. It reminds me of the case back in April of 2015 here in the Capital Region where about 10 buffalo escaped from a farm in southern Rensselaer County. They actually swam across the Hudson River, walked out on the thruway, and nobody hit them. It was an amazing story. And they were running free. They were roaming free in the town of Bethlehem. And they brought in sharpshooters to take them down. Oh. And the reason, again, was that if they had tried to tranquilize them, they would
have stampeded.
They might have gone into a rage and stampeded. Yeah. And it's a myth that you can just blow a dart at somebody and they'll just drop.
It's a terrible story.
And that story, you know, Craig Apple, who's our sheriff, who's a great animal lover, had to make all of that happen. And I remember seeing the clips. There was one guy of these shooters who was doing this as a game, kind of, you know, like
he
was
like
hunting
he
game.
It.
He was enjoying it.
Yeah.
He kept shooting, like, at the leg and not, you know, and Craig pulled him out and said, out of here, so that these animals could be humanely put down. And I'm sure that the ape was also humanely put down.
Well, I was... Go ahead.
Just one last thing, and that is that the zoo is in loco parenti of the gorilla.
Yeah.
In other words, they have chosen to put this gorilla on display and in the zoo. And there are all kinds of legal implications
Absolutely.
For what happens to their gorilla and what it does. So you better be sure that somebody was thinking about what are we going to be responsible for here if that child dies.
There is an entire dangerous animal squad that is at the zoo at all times, that was employed in this case. It was one shot that, by the way, came nowhere near the child, which in and of itself, if I see a guy going to the gun, even if he's going for the grill, I'm going to be worried about my kid. But still. So I think there's that. And the thing I was wrestling with all weekend was, you know, I grew up in Philadelphia. We had a great zoo, Philadelphia Zoo. I grew up at the zoo. I have a great appreciation for these animals. The zoological societies that we have in this country are amazing, what they do with their breeding programs and how they work together. All zoos are not created equal.
No, not at all.
But the larger city zoos have a network, and these zoos are very, very good at what they do. Now, but with that, so do you deny a kid who doesn't run into the enclosure, but do you deny a kid and even an adult to see one of these amazing animals, or do you say we're not going to have zoos, do you do this kind of thing where they are in captivity and I don't know, I really don't know. I come out of it thinking it just doesn't seem right, but you look. I was at the Central Park Zoo recently. You see the polar bears. Those polar bears seem like they're having a great time, but I don't know.
Down in one of the New York zoos when it's feeding time for the the seals?
Yeah.
I mean, they just love it, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I could be wrong, but it certainly
certainly exude joy. but here again, but think of all of the great times that we as children and as parents and guardians that we will bring kids to a zoo and that wonderful experience that
And
you
it's
have.
This balancing act of you bring a child to a zoo and you hope that child learns to appreciate wildlife, appreciate these animals, appreciate what they mean to us as a culture and to the world, and not end up, you know, thinking that they're there for fun and games and to be preyed upon.
The San Diego Zoo, the Cincinnati Zoo, the Washington Zoo, these are all zoos who have wonderful reputations for what they've done and their conservation programs that they work out. One of the things that I was interested in when looking at the story was how people were going to respond. We have gotten a lot of letters, so let's go to that now.
Okay, so Michael says gorillas are not indigenous to Cincinnati, period. Lauren says
the reason they brought him there.
Hi everyone. I think it's important to let the professionals handle the situation. I think we should forgive the mom, and that's from Larry. And Karina says I'm disturbed by the abuse the parents are taking. As a parent of two who considers herself quite careful and responsible, I say don't judge without the facts. A child can sneak away in a heartbeat. Accidents happen and is not necessarily a result of bad parenting. Cody says, Why do we have animal prisons? I mean, zoos in the first place. These poor animals are caged and confined in very small areas. Not the ones you're talking about, Joe. In other words, the San Diego Zoo and the others.
Natural habitats.
Yeah. I mean, they've done. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, there were some zoos that was just, you know, the steel bars, the cage, and there was the animal. That's gone pretty much in our larger zoos in this country, and there are natural habitats and enclosures. But I don't know. I still don't know. You know, if that is. I have issues with it, but I look at it and I think, well, how else do you get to see an animal?
And
like
for
this?
Some of these animals, it's the way to prevent their extinction.
Our 2-year-old Noah was at the Central Park Zoo this weekend. It was, according to our daughter Sarah, the major event of his life.
My God. I mean, I just think of the time I spent at zoos. It was a wonderful experience.
That and the top of being on top of a building in New York watching the airplane go down and watching all the helicopters, hundreds it seemed of helicopters.
The U.S. Air?
It was a guy who had a veteran.
Plane went in the
Okay. Ted says, why is it this, to Libby, why is this a difficult situation? Tough, not difficult. If a big dog was dragging my small child leg and I had access and skill to a deadly weapon, gun, knife whatsoever, I'm killing the dog. John says, I wish the gorilla could have been saved, but tranquilizers don't work instantly, except in Hollywood. We know that already. And Cody says, good morning. Why do we have animal prisons? I mean, zoos in the first place. Okay. Let's see here. Scott says, I say roll the dice and tranquilize the gorilla. The kid was in the gorilla's cage. The gorilla had no fault in this. The gorilla is much more endangered than a 4-year-old child. We are too quick to shoot animals.
Okay.
Mike says, the parents need to be held accountable. We need to make an example of these parents. Maybe a fine, or they must do public service. Otherwise, we're saying it's okay for parents to lose control of their kids in dangerous situations.
Maybe they ought to put the 3-year-old in prison.
And maybe all of us who have ever had a child.
Jeez.
No.
Come on.
You know, this is going to seem like a tangent, but I just want to, here's a story. But I'm very, very young at this point, and it's at the Willow Grove Air Show, all right, and it was the first air show I'd ever been to, and you have the Blue Angels and all the thing, and the planes are going, and it was amazing, absolutely amazing, and they have this what they call a static display. They have the various things there, so they let you jump up into the planes, and so a kid, 4 or 5 years old, a long time ago, so I don't remember the age, but 4 or 5 years old, goes in and he starts playing with the dials.
Right.
There is a code. There's a code of something like 30 numbers that you have to press. The kid pressed them in the exact right order.
Oh my God.
And ejected the child, and he was killed.
Oh my God.
And it was like a tragic thing. But I mean, who could ever think that would happen, right?
Hmm.
So I mean, it's an accident. So even with this, like I will say, there's a fence and then there's a shrub. I'm sure everyone would look at this and say, there's no way in hell a kid can get through there. And then a kid gets through there.
And the kid was like, I'm going to go see the gorilla. That was part of the story.
So then we heard from Lily, I once lost my 3.5-year-old at Sears, I guess it is, while shoe shopping. After a moment of panic, I found him. He had shimmied up a pole. He's now tending a competitive gymnast. 3.5-year-olds are tricky. They disappear in a second, quicker than a second, over barriers and up poles.
Oh, it does happen.
Brian says, dear Roundtable, animals should be in natural habitats. Go online if you really need to see an animal. Margie said, Margie sends us a cartoon, and that would be very hard.
It's Calvin and Hobbes. It is cute, but if you look at it,
it's a visual.
Yeah, it's a visual thing.
Yeah. A high panel says, Tom, just curious as where Libby or anyone has the authority to state that a child's life is more important than an animal's life. Sounds a bit presumptuous. And then Paul says, I was horrified by the zoo story. As I get older, I start to think zoos should be a thing of the past. What right do we have to keep intelligent creatures in impossibly small environments?
We have to take a break. We'll continue the conversation after this short break. Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, Libby Post, I'm Joe Donahue. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable panel for this Tuesday morning. It's the 31st of May. Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, and Libby Post making up the panel this morning. We have been discussing so far the tragic story out of Cincinnati and the gorilla that was put down on Saturday after a four-year-old went into the enclosure. We have a lot of letters on these, so we'll go to some more letters, take the pulse of the room, and then we'll move on to other stuff.
All right. So now we hear from Mary. I'm a docent at a large local zoo and want to note that far too many parents do not take responsibility for their young children. Children of this age should be under direct control. All right. We also heard from somebody who said that when he was a kid, or she was a kid, I don't remember it, he was kept on a leash. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if there's a single thing that bothers me more than anything else, it's parents who keep their kids on leashes. I mean,
well, it's not a leash that it's around the neck. It's around the
yeah, but
the
it's
belly.
Still a leash.
It's still a leash. I know.
Yeah. But I mean, and I guess you if you look at that as a way of saying, I know my child can get out of control, and this is a way that I can control them so they do not hurt themselves. Hmm. Then I guess it's necessary, but it's a weird
it's
thing to
weird.
See. It is
it's
a weird thing to
you
see.
You might have a particularly gregarious child who might even, you know, be a little hyperactive, and it might be necessary in a large crowd. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Bill
don't
says,
take them into a large crowd. That's my answer.
In this day and age, the majority
don't fly
of animals,
then.
Right?
In this day and age, the majority of animals in zoological parks have been bred and raised there. They have no memory or knowledge of the wild. I also wonder how many of the people who are parents shaming the mother even have kids.
You do have to wonder about that.
Okay. Andy says, good morning, Roundtable. Sometimes a tragedy is just a tragedy. Does there always have to be someone to blame?
I love that letter.
I think that's
mm-hmm.
really
Absolutely.
Insightful.
It's a great letter.
It's a tragedy.
Barbara said, I just watched the film of the great ape with a kid, parenthesis, brat, in the enclosure. First of all, hundreds of kids of all ages have seen these animals, and only one who went through. Secondly, the gorilla was so gentle with the kid, it was amazing. He even helped him stand up at one point. Okay.
I just have to say, she does go on to say that about Joe's comment about the gorilla dragging the kid like a rag doll. How else would a gorilla transport a human child? Well, that's true, but still looking at it
through water,
it's what it shows is the tremendous power and strength that animal has versus that of a small child.
They showed another video on one of the news reports I saw of this amazing animal just dashing back and forth in its habitat, and it was a powerful animal.
Yeah, very quick and very powerful.
Okay, so then Brenda has another view. Isn't the issue in part that this is a gorilla? I doubt a beaver, snake, or alligator would endanger so much empathy.
Well, you know, there's some people who make the case that primates are closer to humans certainly they are in the evolutionary stance, but the, you know, there are a lot. They have a lot of human-like features, mm-hmm. and people relate to them differently than they might relate to an anteater.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody.
Well, Quip says, "How about tranquilize him? Quip says, "How about tranquilize him and have a sharpshooter on standby?" Brian says, humans kill over 50 billion animals yearly for food and hunting. Those estimates are low, and many live torturous lives. As stewards of the planet, we need to think differently about how we treat and view the lives of other animals. Let's see here.
Got a lot of letters.
James says, I was a child that would run around. I was on a leash, okay. And we did that one already. And Kathy says, hi, panel. It's not enough that the animal is doomed to a life of confinement for human profit. An idiot, inattentive parent lets their kid get into the cage. They should be charged with a crime. Come on.
Now, Joe, you said you had a lot of letters. Compared to what?
Compared to anything.
Any topics?
Well, Trumpian.
Oh, yeah. Really? This is as many letters as we get on Trump.
Wow. So this really touches a nerve.
Yes. Well, I have to say I'm reading a few things. And Jeff Corwin, who's a conservationist and sort of took Steve, what's his face, is the guy who got
The crocodile.
Right, the crocodile. Yeah. He is saying that zoos aren't babysitters.
No, that's a good point.
You know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of good points, but everything is about nuance and extreme here.
Right.
All right, and it's simple, says John. Parents are not paying attention. Okay, and Tom says, This was the equivalent of the police shooting an unarmed perp because they feared for their lives, no other discussion. And then, okay.
And what would be the response? What would have been the response to, from everyone here if this kid had gotten killed?
Right.
Why didn't they take that gorilla much quicker?
The other, it would be 180 degrees on the other side. There's no right or wrong here. There's no yes or no. There's no truth or false. They did what they did to save the child.
Well, Libby, let me take issue with what you've just said.
Okay.
I mean, first of all, I agree with you that this is horrible and that, that you know, there's no right or wrong. However, that's why we make laws. In other words, the first rule of Chartok public administration has always been one thing happens and a law is made as a result of that. So if you're on the plane and it says, please check your overhead luggage because something may fall and hit you on the head, it's because somebody has had exactly that happen,
that
fallen, and therefore becomes
shifted in flight.
Right. So now they're going to have laws banning anybody from.
I would say that either that or there will be more precaution taken so the kid can't get through.
Yeah. A glass enclosure.
But I do think, I mean, to Libby's point, I think if this we would be having a much different conversation if the child was killed. And I think we'd still be obviously having the parent discussion, but we would also be having the discussion as to probably more so how the child got in and about the gorilla and what they do as a result of the gorilla killing the
Somebody wanted us to name the gorilla because the gorilla had a name. It's
Harambee.
And Roxy writes, I recommend an excellent article by Stephen Wise, attorney and founder of Non-Human Rights Project, entitled Harambee's Rights Were Violated Long Before His Tragic Death, online at the Daily News. And Cindy says, what would people say if the child was killed or maimed by the gorilla because zoo officials took actions that would save the gorilla? Also, many species are endangered because of poaching and losing natural habitat. Zoos help to preserve those animals and educate the public about them.
That's right.
Well, that's right.
Some very thoughtful letters.
Yeah, and Christopher says, this is an interesting day at the Round Table because a significant proportion of listeners seem to have never made a big mistake in their lives.
Yeah,
I mean, that's one of the things. I mean, and that goes back to your earlier letter of sometimes a tragedy is just a tragedy and you can't really figure it out. But it is it does bring up some interesting issues.
And Jay Gorbatty says, I first saw the story on CNN with the gorilla thrashing the child about. Later, I saw a CNBC where they showed the animal holding the boy up and being gentle with him, which says more about the way in which we play the news.
That's right. Absolutely.
That's right. And there were both there.
Right. And, you know, imagine if it was a presidential candidate and Fox News was covering it, what the difference would be.
Yeah, well.
And Matt says, how many of the people outraged over the death of this gorilla have contributed money to preserve gorilla habitat or even know the names of the countries where gorillas live and the political issues around the conservation there? Few, I guess, if you really care about gorillas, organize to fight global warming and don't anthropomorphize wild animals.
There's good points in that letter. In there.
Oh, well. Let's see here. That's, I think, Joseph.
We're good? All right.
Well, I don't know.
A representative sample of your
thank you.
Feedback. Yeah.
All right. Let's go to some other stuff then. There are other things
One last thing, because I want to give him a chance back. Panel, I think my mother leashed me in 1959 and she hung up clothes to dry on the sixth floor of our apartment building. It was so I didn't go over the edge while she had clothespins in her hand or mouth. And if a kid ran out in the road and was crushed by a car, we would have a little more forward about asking why the parents weren't on top of him.
Let's talk about, we're going to move on to other topics here. One is, let's talk about the Libertarians. The Libertarian National Convention was on Sunday. They chose a pair of former Republican governors as their presidential and vice presidential nominees, putting forward the most experienced election ticket in the party's four-decade history. So we have former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson as their presidential candidate, and former Massachusetts Governor William Weld as the vice presidential candidate.
Now William Weld used to be my governor.
Yes.
So I get to go first.
You do indeed, sir.
And he was a wild man. I mean, he was always fun. That's the thing I liked about Weld. He would get up and sing songs and
jump in the river.
Jump in the river. And then when he was disgusted with the whole thing, he'd quit.
And then he came to New York.
They moved to New York because they may run against.
Yeah, yeah.
He ran that year that Spitzer ran, right?
Yeah. He didn't do it, of course.
He didn't get the nomination.
No. But anyway, so here he is. He's got to assume, because he's not an idiot, that he's not going to win. The real question here is, how many votes will the Libertarian get, and from whom will they get them?
That's the whole issue.
Boy, you're right, Alan, on that.
That's what it's all about. It's about taking votes away from Republicans.
Now, the Libertarians are interesting in that they have something for everybody. In other words, conservative Republicans certainly will find them attractive in their fiscal policies. On the other hand, there's something very nice about the Libertarians, where they think too much government, too much on our heads, too oppressive, and that's something I could go for. So, and we have these two candidates who are so unpopular that people will be looking for other places to go. So Jill Stein Green ticket. Yeah, that's
the
right.
The Verdi ticket.
Yeah, they'll get ticket more Verdi. Votes ticket probably Verdi. Than they ever got before, because they're going to be getting some of the Berniites who will say, I hear from them all the time, I'll never vote for that woman. And they'll go there. Thinking about this, it gets interesting from a political science point of view, because if nobody gets that, you know, majority in the electors, it goes to the House of Representatives, which is made up of Republicans.
Right, and we'll blow our brains out.
Well, you could, or it'll be very interesting to see what all of the
Seems
Republicans.
Seems extreme, Libby, but okay.
I don't know
what all the Republicans who hate Trump so much are going to do in that case.
Right.
Well, the names that pop into my head as I see the Libertarian Party kind of moving towards the mainstream and positioning to take a fairly significant amount of votes this year are John Anderson, Ross Perot, Ralph Nader.
Sure.
These are people who have caused outcomes in elections that perhaps some people don't want.
Yeah. Well,
who will this cost the election to?
Well,
perhaps?
That is the question I was trying to raise. I mean, I really don't know.
I think that the Bernie people who refuse to vote for Hillary will go to Jill Stein and the Green Party. And I think the Republicans who just can't stomach the idea of voting for Trump will go to these guys.
And they may have a rationale for doing it, because you have two senior Republican governors running on the ticket.
Right. And the interesting thing about these guys is that they're socially progressive. They're socially liberal. Yeah. And Bill Weld was great on LGBT youth issues in Massachusetts before anybody was. And yes, thank you, Alan. So, it's an interesting...
What was that about?
Well, that was that look that you gave me.
Well,
so it'll be interesting to see whether or not they can pull any of the disaffected Dems. I don't think they're going to pull that much.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump took no time in saying that he would not bring up the fact that Bill Weld was an alcoholic.
Well, didn't he
and then, of course, bringing up the fact that Bill Weld was an alcoholic.
Well, he's not going to bring up Vince Foster in the Hillary thing.
Yeah,
right. But didn't Weld have something to do with Phoenix University and get in trouble? Wasn't there?
Well, how about Trump University?
Well, that's true. So he can't,
They have a lot
all
of
these for-profit universities.
About Chartstock University.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we attend that every day.
And we are not making any claims.
Right.
This
look
is
at
not
me.
A legal statement.
I went to the Chartstock University, and look at me.
Right.
Oh, God.
I graduated from this Alan Chartstock School of Advanced, so, you know.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll go to some letters and then take on some other issues as well. We'll be right back after the short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Amish Barn Company, Oneonta, New York, specializing in handcrafted Amish storage sheds, cabins, studios, housing shells, and built-on-site garages. Family-owned and operated, delivery included, AmishBarnCO.com. SPAC celebrating their 50th with the 39th annual Fryhofer Saratoga Jazz Festival, featuring 24 artists on two stages over 2 days, June 25th and 26th. SPAC.org for details and tickets. Berkshire Highbridge Dental Implants, Drs. Klederman and Williams, offering prosthetic and restorative options for complex dental problems with the Highbridge Full Mouth Restoration. BerkshireHighbridge.com. And Third Eye Associates Limited, life planning, transition planning, and wealth management, registered investment advisors with offices in New York City, Washington, D.C., and the Hudson Valley. ThirdEyeAssociates.com.
¶¶
While you were working this weekend or out enjoying the sunshine and the warm weather and the beauty that
the weeds.
That was the what?
The weeds.
The weeds, that's right. You were battling the weeds or catching up on some chores that desperately needed to be attended to. Well, we had our lockbox open, and we had a very nice weekend. Thank you very much.
I'm scared, though, Joe. I mean, when you say very, very nice, I'm really quite worried.
Okay, all right. I swear I will let you... I will let you bring the negativity in just a second.
Okay, go ahead.
But let's just take just a split moment to bask in the fact that as of 9:50 this morning, our lockbox is at $309,350.
And we only have 5 days basically to do
well,
it.
Well, we have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, well, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah. Yeah, 5 days.
Yes, and
full days.
And you know, we're so close. That's what's killing me here.
Now,
we're
what
so close
to what?
We're close to the $400,000, Joe. I'm glad you asked, so that we can have the $10,000, which have been given from a wonderful couple in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, who love the Barrington stage. They say doing it to honor them, but also to help WAMC. They'll give us $5,000 if we can do it. And Tony Miola, our great friend, who's always been there for us, another $5,000. That would mean we would go in with an additional $10,000. And folks, we don't want to lose it. Listen, I love the fun drive. I do. I'll be honest with you. I love the fun drive. It gives us a chance to talk to each other, send messages, do all of that stuff. But there are those who don't. And I always ask them, I always say, as you know, did you put anything in the lockbox? And they look at you and they say,
So this is your opportunity to make sure that you do indeed put money into the lockbox. We have our vote package. Where's our vote package? Oh, there it is.
There it is. Oh, it's gorgeous. So while Joe's doing that,
pan holder. Okay, go ahead.
When Joe's doing that, if you, but this is gorgeous, and this is why it's a little frustrating to be on radio. If you were watching us on our streaming, you would see it.
That would frustrate
me. A beautiful white cup. With the symbol of our authority, a beautiful microphone with radiation coming out of it, and on the other side it says, vote for WAMC.
With radiation.
No, that would be the sun's rays.
Yes, rays, yes. And then on the other thing is a beautiful black T-shirt with, on the front, the symbol of our authority in white and black, and on the back a huge sign saying, vote for WAMC, and, you know, 2 weeks later you'll be married.
All right.
Or your child will.
$100 for that premium, although the lockbox is non-discriminatory. It will take whatever you wish to give it.
And, oh, yeah.
We would love for you to help out. So we only have a few days left.
5 days.
And we're getting close to 310,000, but we need to get to 400,000.
Oh, my goodness.
For us to.
Now, this is where you get heart palpitations. My heart is palpitating right now.
Palpitating. So WAMC.org will be reminding you again. All right. Final topic of the morning, I believe. And that is, we couldn't get out of here without talking about tomorrow is, no, we have a week, right?
Yep.
Till the California primary.
Right.
A week from today.
Yeah.
And,
it'll be close.
Meanwhile, there's the Bernie Sanders story, about moving toward a fight over Israel, forcing Hillary Clinton to navigate a splintered party. Senator Bernie Sanders has begun pushing the Democratic Party toward a platform fight over the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, a departure from his core focus on domestic economic issues that would put pressure on Hillary Clinton to handle a growing divide within the party.
Take it, Libby.
I don't understand what Bernie's trying to do. Is he trying to get Donald Trump elected president? I mean, everything he's been doing now, that it's clear that he's not going to get the nomination, has been just to divide the party. And I just wonder what it is that he's really trying to accomplish.
The Bernie Sanders campaign and those following him would say that it is not a done deal. That
yes,
he still
I
has
understand
a chance.
That. He does not have a chance. And the math is not in his side. And this is an incredibly divisive issue. It could tear at the fabric of the party, and it is not a time for us to be tearing apart the Democratic Party when we have a neo-fascist on the other side who could step into the president's office.
So how would it further split the party, and what would the platform, what's the platform currently, and how would it change?
Well, I mean, these guys are going to avoid the Israeli question, because it can only be divisive. Look, let's face it, in American politics, if you want to be elected, you have to get a coalition together. This issue, by the way, splits the American people. Mm-hmm. And if you are forced to do one or the other, it's going to cost your party a great deal.
But the issue itself, just to summarize I think this may be over-summarizing it, but essentially one is about a dedication to support the right of Israel to be an independent state and anything that goes with that, versus one that also factors in with criticism the way that Israel treats its neighbors necessarily, Palestine.
You know, Mike.
Maybe oversimplification.
No, it is not. But you, as one who was raised in a Jewish household, I can tell you, I have major differences with Netanyahu. I have major differences with the way in which they have done their settlement program and the rest of it. I have major differences in their refusal to really get busy about coming up with a solution. On the other hand,
I have major differences with the way the Palestinians deal.
You better believe it.
Yeah. With Israel.
And we'll not talk about anything except forcing them into the sea.
Right, and refuse to recognize their right to exist. And once that happens, you know, it remains to be seen what Netanyahu will do if he would become a better politician. I doubt it.
How can he be a better politician if what you're espousing is what gets the Israelis to elect you?
Well, you know what I mean. He will be a better diplomat. Until they recognize Israel's right to exist, it's a very difficult situation for people like you and I who would love to see there be peace in the Middle East.
So to the core issue that Libby, that we talked about, and then Libby mentioned at the very beginning, which was, so as a move, as a tactical move, what do you think Bernie Sanders is trying to do?
I think he's trying to make his point. I think that's what he's trying to do. I think, look, I know Bernie well enough. I've interviewed him 100 times, I'm sure. I can tell you, he is not a guy who chases after undoable things. But he has a left upbringing, and I voted for him because I thought he was right on the issues. And he's trying to get that point across. After all, he's my age. He's old, older. And, this is going to be his thing.
Well, you know, it's interesting because he's Jewish. He spent months of his youth living in an Israeli kibbutz. And his opinions are more socialist, than
the way Israel started.
The
way
Israel started.
Right. Yes.
That's true.
And yet he's at odds with, both Donald Trump and Hillary, who are more supportive of the current, Netanyahu approach.
And let's remember that when Israel declared its independence, the second group to support it, because it was socialist, was the Soviet Union.
It's complicated.
It's incredibly complicated.
It is complicated.
There's no two ways about it.
We're just about out of time. Time, not times. Just out of time.
And T-H-Y-M?
Rosemary, parsley, sage, and all
of
that.
Where is she, by the way?
Again, a reminder about the lockbox. We are dangerously close to 310,000. We need to get to 400,000 by the start of Monday at 6 a.m. when our fun drive starts. We know you'll be with us in both cases. WAMC.org. Thank you to Libby and to Mike and to Alan. We will be back with more show after this.